podcast is sponsored by Q Interactive, Pearson's iPad-based system for testing, scoring, and reporting. Experience unheard-of efficiency and client engagement with 20 of our top tests delivered digitally. Sign up for your free 30-day trial at pearsonclinical.com/speechscience. Then call 1-800-627-7271 to use promo code SPEECHSCIENCE for 10% off your new Q Interactive license. Offer valid until December 31st, 2018.
Please listen carefully.
What is communication?
The act of taking a thought from my head and putting it into your head.
Essential behavior of life. We have the both blessing and responsibility of trying to foster
it. It's the strongest way for two people to convey information to each
other. What I have in my head to the outside world.
Draws us out of ourselves, draws us into that relationship, you know, builds up our families. Without it, we'd be lost.
I think it's the ability to share your innermost feelings and thoughts with
Whatever
others.
Whatever it is that we do to express intent and achieve an impact.
Communication is the ability to express your needs, wants, frustrations, and desires to anyone that you feel needs to have that information.
Welcome to episode 54 of the Speech Science Podcast. I'm Matt Hott, flying solo this week as we all recover from what a wonderful, and I hope you had a wonderful and fun time back at the ASHA convention. And this week it is Thanksgiving. So we hope that you are spending this time maybe traveling to family or traveling home from family. We hope that it is wonderful and safe for you. In honor of the holiday, I'd like to say thank you by playing back one of our favorite episodes. Back in November last year, Ivan Campos had an opportunity to sit down with Mary Casper and Anita Varub, the convention co-chairs, speech and language pathology and audiology for the 2017 ASHA convention. They talk a little bit about what it took to be a co-chair, how long do you plan a convention, and how does it take to orchestrate all those people. ASHA this year had 18,000 people attend the convention. I hope you are one of them, and we want to hear from you. If you were, head to our website, podcast.speechscience.org. From there, you can email us, speechscience2018@gmail.com, or give us a phone call, 614-681-1798. After the break, Ivan Campo sat down with Mary Casper and Anita Varub. You're listening to the Speech Science Podcast.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, the way they talk, the way they touch their hair. We hold details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones that we carry with us every day. Can we describe them when everything's right? Can we feel when something's wrong? Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. You don't know why. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. That's knowyourgirls.org, brought to you by Susan G. Komen and the Ad Council.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're gonna go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You gotta dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Do you have an idea for a product or book? Or are you ready to go beyond in-service presentations? Well, how do you get started? And what if you don't have any business experience at all? Well, I have some great news for you. I'm Mei-Ling Chan, and I'm getting the nitty-gritty stories from parents, teachers, therapists, advocates, and people with disabilities who have created successful businesses, and they're sharing their intimate stories with you. Listen to us on the Exceptional Leaders Podcast and fast-track creating and building and sharing your idea with the world so that you can help more people.
Welcome to another episode of the Speech Science Podcast. My name is Ivan Campos, your host, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Mary Casper, ASHA 2017 Convention Co-Chair for Speech Language Pathology, and Anita Varev, Convention Co-Chair for Audiology. Mary Casper is a speech language pathologist and is currently the Corporate Rehabilitation Consultant with HCR Manor Care in Rockville, Maryland. She has 28 plus years of experience as a speech language pathologist, and her main focus has been geriatric rehabilitation in healthcare settings. And now also with us is Dr. Anita Varev, is an audiologist and works at Michigan Medicine, part of the University of Michigan Pediatric Audiology Clinics, and specializes in language and literacy acquisition in children who are deaf and hard of hearing, pediatric cochlear implantation, educational issues involving children with hearing loss, early hearing detection, identification, and intervention. Welcome. How are you both doing today?
Great, Ivan. Thank you for asking.
And Anita?
Great. Thanks, Ivan. Yeah, great to be here. Looking forward to talking to you and sharing information about our experience as the 2017 convention co-chairs for the ASHA convention.
And you know, this is the week of convention. And so I'm sure you're relieved in some areas and you're like, oh, what if we missed this? What if we forgot that, right? And so it's always fascinating. I've attended several conventions and it floors me just the level of detail and how well coordinated it is. And now we get to find out what goes on, right? So Mary, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, sure. In your introduction, Ivan, you mentioned my employer and how long I've been involved in the field of speech-language pathology. I'm one of those rare individuals who went to college and never changed my major. I knew what I wanted to do. And I'll say that speech-language pathology has been a great fit for me. What else do you want to know?
Maybe a fun fact about you?
Well, I was born in Long Beach, California, so pretty close to Los Angeles. So this convention is sort of like coming home.
Well, that's neat. That's neat. I was born right in Bellflower, which is next to Long Beach.
I lived in Bellflower when I was two. Yeah.
Okay. Great. And Anita?
Yeah, sure. My career path has changed somewhat. I started off as a teacher of the deaf and hard of hearing as my undergraduate degree in elementary education. So I actually was a teacher for a couple of years. And then I went back and got my master's in audiology and did audiology for a while. And then moved to Michigan to join the University of Michigan cochlear implant team. And while there, I was working with kids a lot, and we were implanting at a very young age, but I was still kind of in the back of my mind. A lot of these kids were doing really well with their implants as far as their speech perception. You could say to them, you know, what color are your shoes? And they could repeat, what color are your shoes? But there was that understanding, so that's what drove me back to get my PhD looking at language and literacy development and children with hearing loss. So I kind of have incorporated my educational background in the audiology and continuing to work now out in the school some and working at the implant program and the pediatric audiology clinic as well. So a little varied and lots of different hats that I wear.
Well, that's very neat. Thank you for sharing that. One of my most memorable experiences was being a camp counselor at a deaf and hard of hearing camp that's held in Virginia. It's called Camp Loud and Clear. And I remember some of the campers with cochlear implants. And one of the students was about 17 years old. And he actually would interpret for me. You know, he knew sign language, but he also could hear. And so with the cochlear implant, and so he would interpret for the deaf campers that did not have cochlear implants, or that had cochlear implants that had not been working as they thought they would. So it was one of the most memorable experiences working with the deaf and hard hearing community. So anyways.
Yeah, that's great. Were you camp counselor 1 year or more than 1 year?
It was just 1 year. It was just 1 year. And most memorable experience. I'd actually have thought about volunteering and going back, you know, maybe next summer. So
great. That's interesting work.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, I understand that both of you have been working very closely in the last couple of years as you are serving as co-chairs of the 2017 American Speech and Language Hearing Association Convention, which will be held in Los Angeles, California from November 9th to the 11th. And so I understand that this is a huge endeavor. You have approximately 15,000 attendees to this convention. And so tell me about the convention. You know, who is it for? Where are people coming from? You know, what's the real nitty gritty about it? So,
I'll start off, Ivan. You know, one of the early things that Anita and I worked on together was the theme of the convention, which is focus on the big picture. And as we were pulling together the theme of convention, we were really encouraged to land on a theme that allowed the convention participants to see themselves in the story, to be able to relate to the ideas that they might learn at the convention, and to be able to imagine that they would have a place to learn some things and get engaged in the process of convention. Over the years, the convention has been growing in attendance, and certainly there's a large cohort of attendees who are students in communication sciences and disorders. There are early career professionals, all the way to retirees and life members of ASHA. There are opportunities for continuing education, professional development across at any given time during the convention offerings. There's about 50 concurrent educational sessions that people can choose from to attend, as well as networking opportunities, ways to get to meet professional colleagues and have opportunities for one-on-one experiences with new people. And so that's really who the convention is for. I think Anita can talk about a couple of the unique features that we have for this year, including the Empowerment Zone.
Yeah, so we can talk about, you know, there's a lot, like you said, Ivan, that goes into the planning of the convention. It really is a kind of a two-year endeavor. But I would like to say, too, that we couldn't do it without the ASHA Conventions and Meeting Team. They're a great, well-oiled machine, and they're really vital in making sure that the convention runs as smoothly as it does. As you said, there's so many moving parts and pieces. Just thinking of how you put the exhibit hall together. But we work a lot with the topic area chairs. This year we have 37 topic area chairs. And then they have their respective committees. And so we have over 2,500 CEU eligible sessions this year.
2,500.
Yeah, so there's a lot. So we've got there's like 38 3-hour invited short courses.
Okay.
And then we have over 630 1- and 2-hour oral presentations. And then this year we have what are called flash sessions, which are 30-minute sessions. They used to be called technical sessions, but they're called flash sessions this year, where there's 20 minutes of somebody presenting about an intervention or their research, and then a 10-minute question and answer. And then we have over 1,700 posters. So there's a lot of sessions, and like I said, it's really those topic area chairs and their committees that really help us in getting all the sessions there for our attendees.
Wow, that's very impressive. I know that when I've attended in the past, I have a hard time deciding how I'm going to spend my time at the convention, because like you said, there's opportunities for networking, there's opportunities for continuing education, there's different types of formats, posters, short courses, presentations, and it always seems to me like there's not enough time. There's so many things I want to participate in. But you know, one of the things that I did last year in Philadelphia was there was a zone there where you could do community service.
Mm-hmm.
There was an organization there that were assembling play structures, play sets, you know, little kitchenettes, things like that for children that receive therapy services in the Philadelphia area. And so I'm wondering, are there any opportunities for community service that you can speak about that be at this year's convention?
Yeah, I can take that. And then Mary, maybe you can then talk about the concierge lounge too. The Caring Square is what we call it. And that's the...
Oh yeah, that's it. Caring Square, yes.
And so there is a dedicated space right there in the convention exhibit hall. And this year they're going to be doing some superhero capes. I don't know if you made one when you were in Philadelphia, but they have superhero capes for the Children's Hospital. So they'll be making superhero capes. They're also decorating two surfboards for veterans through Operation Amped.
Okay.
They're also doing some storage cubbies and different materials for a actually called No Limits, which provides after-school services for and produces shows for children who are deaf and hard of hearing. It helps with their self-advocacy and development. Mm-hmm. So then there are a couple other things there at the Caring Square as well. So it's a great opportunity, like you said, to also, and as we say, focus on the big picture, do some things that are beyond just your professional learning and Asha reaching out to the community. So Mary, do you want to talk about the concierge lounge? Because Ivan, you were saying how overwhelming it was to figure out what you wanted to do.
Yeah, so this year we've got some very knowledgeable ASHA staff members, not just the folks from convention and meetings, but some different ASHA staff members who are going to be present in what's referred to as the concierge lounge. And so anybody that's coming to convention and hasn't used our app, or maybe they have used our app, or the convention planner, which is another online thing that's available to help you get ready to make the best of your time while you're at convention. But if you're really not sure the direction that you want to head in terms of how you spend your time, you can go to this concierge lounge, and you can just throw out some ideas to this ASHA staff member, and they'll help you to pick some sessions that would be suited to your needs and your program. They might also send you in the direction of some of the exhibits or some of the volunteer lounges to give you some other networking opportunities. They might send you to poster sessions. As Anita mentioned, there's flash sessions, there's 1 hour, there's 2 hour, and there's 3 hour short courses. There's on Thursday night, there's twilight sessions for an hour that also has probably about 40 sessions going on at the same time.
Okay.
On Thursday evening. But that concierge lounge is a great way for somebody who's just not quite sure and needs to make some decisions about what sessions would be best for them to attend given their particular interest. So we're trying to tailor that for people in a way that helps them to focus.
thank you. And you do have a new app for this year, correct?
Yes.
Yes, there is a new app and some great features on the new app. And it kind of goes along with the program planner as well. So encourage people to, download that app. It even has maps of the, telling you how to get to directions, so a little feature that way, because we know it's really crazy to navigate the large convention center and then also having some of those other sessions that are over at the host JW Marriott Hotel. So encourage people to download that app. Pretty user-friendly and has some great tools on it.
Neat. I've been able to download it and experiment with the planner online, and I really like the new features compared to the one that was used last year. So I encourage anybody to download it from the website. Now, moving on to a different area here, how were you selected for this process to be a co-chair?
I think to start off with, there's an application process. The call for co-chairs usually comes open somewhere like, Anita, is it February or March, that kind of time frame. And then the Scientific Professional Education Board is the body within ASHA who selects from amongst the applicants for the co-chair positions. There are certain qualifications. They strongly encourage you to have worked before as a topic chair and at least 1 year in the convention process so that you're somewhat familiar with the review process and some of the behind the scenes aspects of convention planning. And you have to have a commitment to give the time and the energy in order to really want to focus on having a great experience on behalf of the ASHA membership.
What type of experience did you have before you decided to apply?
This is Anita. I actually started several years just as a reviewer on one of the committees. So that was kind of my first experience, was just getting into the topic area. I was asked by the topic chair, who was a fellow colleague, to get into that. And then the year after that, I was a topic co-chair. So I was kind of mentored with somebody else who had been the topic chair before. And then the following year then was the actual topic chair. So it was kind of numerous years being involved in the convention planning process.
Okay, and Mary?
I kind of had a similar experience. I was first asked to be a reviewer on the following topic committee when a friend and colleague of mine was the topic chair, and then continued to raise my hand. That's one piece to the puzzle as well, that you don't have to wait to be asked to be a part of this process. And I would really encourage anybody who's interested in getting a taste of it and understanding how the process works. It's pretty much, as long as you're in time for the deadline for the committees to be formed, you can get on a review committee if you just offer to do so. So starting off as a reviewer, that involves, going over, and there's a rating system for the papers that are submitted for the general submission. And you just participate in that regard. And then if you have ambitions to do more, you can ask the current topic chair to put your name forward, and that's kind of how it happened for me.
Mary and Anita, did you both apply to be as co-chairs, or are you applying individually to be perhaps a co-chair with somebody else, or was this planned?
Well, we knew each other. I mean, from the convention process, And so it just so happened that the two of us said, hey, we would be a great team, and let's apply and try to go for it together.
You apply as a team.
We did, okay. But you don't have to. The idea is that, you know, an audiologist and a speech language pathologist can apply individually, and then they just might get put together because they're applying individually. And I think that we said in our application letters, like, we know each other, we think we'd make a great team. But if, you know, if one of us wasn't chosen, we would not object, you know.
Okay.
I think that was our approach to things. So people do apply together as a team if they know somebody that they want to try to work with, or you could, you know, just a lone speech language pathologist can apply, and then they would there would be an audiologist that you would be paired with. One of the other things is, the year prior to the time that you're the convention co-chair, you two work together as a topic co-chair. So like we, Anita and I work together on business management, ethical and professional issues topic.
Okay.
For the convention in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Wonderful. And
hey everyone, you know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice special sort of moment, together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Cities chosen? I know this year, last year was Philadelphia, the year before was Denver, this year it's Los Angeles, and then next year it's Boston. And so how are the cities chosen?
Yeah, well, that comes from the conventions and meetings team at ASHA. So they're actually currently looking for destinations for 2027, 2030. So they look at these way ahead of time. So they already have, like you said, Boston is 2018, then it goes to Orlando, then to San Diego, then to DC, and then to New Orleans. And so there's a lot of factors that go into play, you know, space for the educational sessions. Like I said,
okay.
There's lots of concurrent sessions that are going on. They also look at the amount of membership relative to the commute of the location and costs associated with travel to get there, as well as safety and ease of the destination for membership.
Right.
And again, as an organization, they're also looking at costs, you know, of all that. And again, and I think another big thing is just we're a big convention, so location a lot that has the housing that can support 15,000, you know.
Yeah, that's a huge number of attendees. It's almost a small town, small city, you know.
Yeah. So all those factors kind of come into play, but that's something that they do years and years ahead of time.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Now, in terms of what speakers are presenting, so there's, I believe you said there was 50 concurrent sessions might be occurring at one time.
Correct.
In the convention. Yeah. And so who decides what speakers present?
Well, there's kind of a mix. Each topic area, Ivan, is granted a certain number of hours with which they can invite speakers.
Okay.
So they might invite speakers who are speech language pathologists and audiologists, or they might focus on other professions that can work together with us in an interprofessional practice kind of approach. And so each of the topic chairs or co-chairs has a certain number of hours and funding that they can work with in order to bring speakers as invited speakers to the convention. And then beyond that, there is an allocation of hours that's a kind of a mind-boggling formula that one of the ASHA convention staff members is the owner of. And so once we get the response to the call for papers and we have general submissions, each topic area is given a certain number of hours where okay. they can fill in their program with these 2-hour, 1-hour flash sessions and posters. Across the spectrum of the convention, it's a really large matrix where each topic area, the topic chair is in charge of deciding based upon the ratings that the general submissions have by each general submission is reviewed by 3 reviewers on each committee. And then the topic chair gets to make some decisions about based on their comments about which sessions okay. to include and which sessions to reject or change the format of the session. So you might have submitted something as a 2-hour presentation and they would only allot you 1 hour. That's a possibility as well. But again, it's a giant matrix that they fit things into. And then as co-chairs, Anita and I have the opportunity to invite a certain number of hours of content as well.
Okay. Now, as far as sponsors and vendors that are at the convention, how are they selected? Is that more through the ASHA main office or?
Yeah, that's all done through the ASHA conventions meeting and the ASHA larger organization. We don't really have much around that.
Okay.
As co-chairs.
Okay. I kind of thought maybe that was the case. So I'm glad you've confirmed that for me. You would say that there's at least 50 concurrent sessions at one time. There's poster presentations. There are flash sessions. There are twilight hour sessions, right? And then there's also your short courses, as well as your regular conference convention seminars, correct? And so the number of opportunities to obtain information in an area of interest are just overwhelming. This convention brings together so many experts, so many people so knowledgeable in our field and also within other fields that we collaborate with. And for you, Marianne and Anita, I'm sure there's a lot of times that behind the scenes you are hoping that things go a certain way and sometimes they don't. And, you know, can you share about some of the neat experiences that you've had throughout this 2-year process, some of the positives that you've learned about or?
Well, I think it's just exciting to work with such a great group of people in our field and to be able to bring in cutting edge practice, cutting edge research, cutting edge academic training and supervision. Like you said, for all these experts that we bring, not only, and I think this year we have a real big push around that interprofessional practice and teaching, where we have neurologists coming in, we have physical therapists, occupational therapists, and really as the theme is focusing on the big picture, is how do mm-hmm. we really step outside of our silo and really look at the whole picture and looking at the outside of either our clinic or outside of our lab or outside of our classroom to improve outcomes for people with communication science disorder. So that's been just really exciting to see. We have actually the research symposium too on autism is all day Saturday, and some really excellent top-notch experts in the field are speaking at that seminar all day Saturday. Okay. So that's really been just fun to be part of this professional learning community.
That's wonderful. And Mary, is there something that stands out as a highlight to you throughout this process?
Well, I mean, there's so many, Ivan. The ASHA Awards ceremony happens at the ASHA convention. And, you know, for me, that's over the years been one of the greatest aspects. You know, the regular member of ASHA doesn't necessarily get an opportunity to interact with some of the people who are our leaders in our field, and yet here they are all in one place at the awards ceremony. And in particular, you know, it's just been a thrill to get to know on a surface kind of a level, but Annie Glenn and the story that she and her late husband John Glenn had to tell about her communication difficulties. And so the Annie Award is such a fabulous aspect of that whole award ceremony. That's been something certainly that stood out. I'll tell you another little funny story. We work with local hosts. So the state where the convention is being held, the state association sends a couple of people to represent the state on a local basis. So one of our two local hosts was Deb Swain, and so she was the now former president of CASHA. And so I have always worked with adults and older adults, and so we met her in Los Angeles last summer, and she came into the meeting room and she said, you know, hi, I'm Deb Swain, it's nice to meet you. And so I, you know, said, yeah, nice to meet you. And she said, she further introduced herself that her previous name was Ross, and she says, you know, the Ross Information Processing Assessment, that's me. and I went, I'm meeting the author of the RIPA. so that was pretty cool. Just and she's a person who likes to write personal thank you notes, so that's kind of inspiring too, that if you ever have a chance to interact with her, you'll probably get a handwritten thank you note from her. So,
well, that's really neat. Let's see here. What are some helpful tips for getting the most out of convention? Like, what would be your top three tips, Mary?
Well, number one, if you're a first timer on Wednesday night, come to the first timers event and learn more about some of the activities at convention. We already talked about the concierge lounge, so if you're not sure what your program ought to be, you know, take advantage of that opportunity. Let's see, what's the third thing? Try to make it to the awards. I encourage people to do that.
And Anita, is there something you'd like to add? Do you have your own personal top three?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tip is just to go with an open mind and broaden your focus a little bit. Maybe step out of your you know, if there's something of interest, because again, like you said, there's so many sessions. So take something that you might not normally take. I think the Concierge Learning Center definitely is something to take advantage of, as well as the program planner to do a little bit of pre-planning. And then just asking questions when you're there of people around and attendees. Everybody is so welcoming, and it's a great opportunity for interacting with colleagues of like interests.
Neat. Thank you.
Can I make one more comment? Ivan, this might apply to you. There's an emphasis this year on men in the profession, and there's a program that's established maybe before we got to this week, but where men in the professions mm-hmm. who have attended previous conventions can pair with people who they can mentor,
yes.
who have not yet attended a convention. So if you're male and you would like to set up that opportunity to have a mentor during the convention for an experience that would be enhanced because of somebody's previous insights, mm-hmm. That's another opportunity that's out there.
Yes, I understand the name of that program is the ASHA Mentor Program, capital M-E-N.
Yes.
And so they're looking for mentors and what's the other word? And mentees.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been working with Mike Sciattos and Perry Flynn on this also. Mm-hmm. And so
great.
I know that there is going to be a pairing up process that will take place. Mentors and mentees will be notified. They're encouraged to make contact prior to convention, two or three times during convention, and also have a follow-up after convention. So it's, you know, it's a way to have a mentor, a mentee, you know, it's a learning experience for both. And it can be scary going to conventions where maybe not all your colleagues from where you work attend due to distance or different reasons. And so when you get there and you're like, whoa, I don't know. I know two people here. And then you get lost and separated from them. Then it's always good to have a third person, somebody else to reach out to that can show you the ropes. So,
yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Now, I'm going to ask you this, both each, this next question. And in two sentences maximum, the question is, what is communication? What is communication to you, Mary?
I think it is exchanging ideas in a setting that involves both listening or understanding and conveying of thoughts and ideas.
Okay, neat. And Anita?
Communicate.
You had a little more time to think about it, right?
So. Yeah, it's a tough one. I think communication to me is, again, interacting meaningfully with each other in various modalities, and I think it's that meaningful piece.
Right. I always love asking this question. The answers are so diverse. So, and is there anything additional you want to share about the convention that I have not asked?
You know, one thing, Ivan, mm-hmm. when we were putting together our whole process, we had some internal themes. We wanted to have our topic chairs pay attention to communication, collaboration, diversity, and fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that anybody who attends the convention in Los Angeles this week is going to be able to experience any of those four themes in a meaningful way for themselves.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is just making most of convention and, like I said, focusing on that big picture. One thing we didn't mention is Goldie Hawn is the opening keynote speaker. To talk a little bit about mindfulness. So again, it's how are we looking at that, taking care picture. Of ourselves. Yeah, and then the empowerment zone is another thing that's new this year, that's learning about advocacy and how to be kind of speak out about the work that we do and in public speaking tips. So it's not necessarily, it's a different lens of our professional and personal development. So I would encourage people to check out the empowerment zone as well.
Thank you. And I have a follow-up question. Will the SEAS campaign also be there this year?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, where people can take the picture and talk a little bit about their passion for the field. And yeah, so they'll still have that again this year. So they're continuing that campaign.
Well, we're at the end of our time here, and I want to thank you so much, Anita and Mary, for your time. And on behalf of the SpeechScience.org team, it's been a wonderful experience speaking with you. And, you know, in just a couple of days here, you're going to be on the spotlight, right? In the big picture. So I hope that everything goes according to plan. And when things don't go according to plan, you know, you look at the big picture and you take a deep breath and it's going to all be all right, right? So.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Ivan, for inviting us, and thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you at convention.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
As humans, we ask ourselves all kinds of questions. But what if we were forced to ask ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives? The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, "I do," but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Speech Science Podcast. I'm Matt Hott saying I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Michelle Wintering, Michael McLeod, and myself, we will return with the regular format next week after the holidays. So please take this time to spend it with your family. I hope you are resting up well and you are recovering with a short but needed holiday break. From all of us here at the Speech Science Podcast family, I wish all of you a happy and safe, and of course, a wonderful Thanksgiving. Our opening music tonight, as always, was Please Listen Carefully by Jazar. It's licensed under an attribution and share alike license. Our closing music tonight, of course, is Kevin McLeod and The Slow Burn. And our bumper music is Chris Zabrinsky's The Temperature on the Air on the Bow of the Calatine. And as Janice Wright always says, make sure that you are a willow and not an oak. During times of conflict or pressure, the oak will crack, the willow will just bend and return to shape. Until next week, so long, everybody.
You're listening to the Exceptional Podcast Network.